I work as a teacher at the University of Alicante, where I recently obtained my PhD on digital libraries and link open data. And I'm also a software developer at the Biblioteca Virtual Miguel de Cervantes. And today I'm going to talk about data quality. Well, those are my colleagues at the university. And well, as you may know, many organizations are publishing their data are link open data. For example, the National Library of France, the National Library of Spain, AS, which is Cervantes Virtual, the British National Bibliography, the Library of Congress, or Europeana. All of them provide a Sparkle endpoint, which is useful in order to retrieve the data. And if I'm not wrong, the Library of Congress only provides the data as a dump that you can use. When we publish our repository as link open data, my idea was to be reused by other institutions. But what about if I'm an institution who wants to enrich their data with any data from other digital library? Which data set should I use? Which data set is better in terms of quality? Well, the benefits of the evaluation of the quality in libraries are many. For example, methodologies can be improved in order to include new criteria in order to assess the quality. And also, organizations can benefit from best practices and guidelines in order to publish their data as link open data. What do we need in order to assess the quality? Well, obviously, a set of candidates and a set of features. For example, do they have a Sparkle endpoint? Do they have a web interface? How many publications do they have? How many vocabularies do they use? How many Wikidata properties do they have? And where can I get those candidates? I use LotCloud, but when I was doing these slides, I thought about using Wikidata in order to retrieve those candidates. For example, getting entities of the type digital library, which has a Sparkle endpoint. You have here the link. And I come up with those digital libraries. The first one uses bibliographic ontology as main vocabulary, and the others are based more or less on Ferber, which is a vocabulary published by IFLA. And this is just an example of how we could compare digital libraries using bubble charts on Wikidata. And this is just an example comparing how many Wikidata properties are per digital library. And, well, how can we measure quality? There are different methodologies. For example, Ferber 1, which provides a set of criteria grouped by dimensions. And those in green are the ones that I found that I could assess by means of Wikidata. And we also find that we could define new criteria, for example, a new one to evaluate the number of duplicates in Wikidata. We use those properties, and this is an example of a Sparkle, in order to count the number of duplicates per property. And about the results, well, at the moment of doing this study, not the slides, there was no property for the British National Bibliography. They don't provide provenance information, which could be useful for metadata enrichment. And they don't allow to edit the information. So we've been talking about Wikibase the whole weekend, and maybe we should try to adopt Wikibase as an interface. And they are focused on their own content, and this is just a Sparkle query based on Wikidata in order to assess the population. And the BNF provides labels in multiple languages, and they all use self-describing URIs, which is that in the URI they have the type of entity, which allows the human reader to understand what they are using. And more results, they provide different output formats, they provide external, they use external vocabularies, only the British National Bibliography provides machine-readable license information, and up to one-third of the instances are connected to external repositories, which is really nice. And, well, this study, this work has been done in our labs team. A lab in Erlang is a group of people who wants to explore new ways of reusing digital collections. And there's a community led by the British Library, and in particular Mahindra Mahay. And we had the first event in London and another one in Copenhagen. And we're going to have a new one in May at the Library of Congress in Washington. And we are now 250 people. And I'm so glad that I found somebody here at the Wikidatacon who has joined us, Silvia from El Colegio de Mexico. And I'd like you to invite you to our community, since you may be part of a GLAM institution. So we can talk later if you want to know more about this. And this, it's all about people. This is me. People from the British Library, Library of Congress, universities, and national libraries in Europe. And there's a link here in case you want to know more. And, well, last month we decided to meet in Doha in order to write a book about how to create a lab in a GLAM. And they chose 15 people, and I was so lucky to be there. And the book follows the book sprint methodology, which means that nothing is prepared beforehand. All is done there in a week. And believe me, it was really hard working to have the whole book done in this week. And I'd like you to introduce you your book, which will be published. It was supposed to be published this week, but it will be next week. And it will be published open, so you can have it, and I can show you a little bit later if you want. And those are the authors. I'm here. I'm so happy too. And those are the institutions, Library of Congress, British Library, and this is the title. And now I'd like you to show you a map that I'm doing. We are launching a website for a community, and I'm in charge of creating a map with only our institutions there. This is not finished, but this is the sparkle, and below we see the map. And we see here the new people that I found here at the Wikidatacon. I'm so happy for this. And we have here my digital library and my university and many other institutions. Also from Australia, if I can do it. Well, here we have some links. There you go. Okay, this is not finished, and we are still working on this, and that's all. Thank you very much for your attention.
National Library of the Netherlands, and I would like to share my work, which I'm doing about creating linked open data for Dutch public libraries using Wikidata. And my story starts roughly a year ago when I was at the GLAM Wiki conference in Tel Aviv in Israel, and there are two men with very similar shirts and equally similar hairdos met. And on the left, that's me. And a year ago, I didn't have any practical knowledge and skills about Wikidata. I looked at Wikidata, and I looked at the items, and I played with it, but I wasn't able to make a Sparkle query, or to do data modeling, or to write a shape expression. That's a year ago. And on the left-hand side, that's Simon Kopp, user SIC19. And I was talking to him because just before, he had given a presentation about improving the coverage of public libraries in Wikidata, and I was very inspired by his talk. And basically, he was talking about adding basic data about public libraries. So the name of the library, if available, a photo of the building, the address data of the library, the geo-coordinates, latitude, longitude, and some other things, including all with all source references. And what I was very impressed about a year ago was this map. This is a map about public libraries in the UK with all the colors. And you can see that all the libraries are layered by library organizations. And I was really, when he showed this, I was, wow, that's cool. So then I, 1 minute later, I thought, well, let's do it for the country, for that one. And something about public libraries in the Netherlands are about 1,300 library branches in our country, grouped into 160 library organizations. And you might wonder, why do I want to do this project? Well, first of all, because for the common good, for society, because I think using Wikidata and from there creating Wikipedia articles and opening up via the linked Open Data Cloud, it's improving visibility and reusability of public libraries in the Netherlands. And my second goal was actually a more personal one, because a year ago I had this yearly evaluation with my manager, and we decided it was a good idea that I got more practical skills on linked open data, data modeling, and also on Wikidata. And of course, I wanted to be able to make these kinds of maps myself. Then you might wonder, why do I want to do this? Isn't there already enough basic library data out there in the Netherlands to have a good coverage? So let me show you some of the websites that are available to discover address and location information about Dutch public libraries. And the first one is this one, gidsvoornederland.nl, and that's the official public library inventory maintained by my library, the National Library. And you can see, you can look up addresses and geo-coordinates on that website. Then there is this site, Bibliotheekinzicht. This is also an official website maintained by my National Library, and this is about public library statistics. Then there is another one, debibliotheken.nl. As you can see, there's also address information about library organizations, not about individual branches. And there's even this one, which also has address information. And of course, there's something like Google Maps, which also has all the names and the locations and the addresses. And this one, the international one, Library Technology, which has a worldwide inventory of libraries, including the Netherlands. And I even discovered there is a data set you can buy for 50 euros or so to download it. And there is also, seems to be, I didn't download it, but there seems to be address information available. And you might wonder, is this kind of data good enough for the purposes I had? So this is my birthday list for my ideal public library data list. And what's on my list? First of all, the data I want to have must be up-to-date-ish. It must be fairly up-to-date, so doesn't be, have to be real-time, but let's say a couple of months or half a year delayed with official publication, that's okay for my purposes. And I want to have it both the library branches and the library organizations. Then I want my data to be structured, because it has to be machine-readable. It has to be in open file format, such as CSV or JSON, RDF. It has to be linked to other resources, preferably. And the users, the license on the data needs to be manifest public domain or CC0. Then I would like my data to have an API, which must be public, free, and preferably also anonymous, so that you don't have to use an API key or have to register an account. And I also want to have a Sparkle interface. So now these are all the sites I just showed you, and now I'm going to make a big grid. And then this is about the evaluation I did. I'm not going into it, but there is no single column which has all green check marks. That's the important thing to take away. And so in summary, there was no linked public free linked open data for Dutch public libraries available before I started my project. So this was the ideal motivation to actually work on it. So that's what I've been doing for a year now, and I've been adding libraries bit by bit, organization by organization, to Wikidata. I created also a project website on it. It's still rather messy, but it has all the information, and I try to keep it as up to date as possible. And also all the Sparkle queries you can see are linked from here. And I'm just adding really basic information. You can see the instances, images if available, addresses, locations, etc., municipalities. And where possible, I also try to link the libraries to external identifiers. And then you can really easily, we all know, generating some Listeria lists with public libraries grouped by organizations, for instance, or using Sparkle queries, you can also do aggregation on data, let's say, that give me all the municipalities in the Netherlands and the number of library branches in all the municipalities. With one click, you can make these kinds of photo galleries. And what I set out to do first, you can really create these kinds of maps. And you might wonder, are there any libraries here or there? There are, but they are not yet in Wikidata. We're still working on that. And actually, last week I spoke with a volunteer who's helping now with entering the libraries. And you can really make cool in Wikidata, and also using the cartographer extension, you can use these kinds of maps. And even took it one step further. I also have some Python skills and some leaflet skills. So I created, and I'm quite proud of it actually, I created this library heat map, which is fully interactive. You can zoom into it and you can see all the libraries. And you can also run it off Wiki. So you can just embed it in your own website and it fully runs interactively. So now going back to my big scary table. There is one column on the right which is blank. And no surprise, there will be Wikidata. And let's see how it scores there. Yeah. So this is... So I actually think of printing this on a t-shirt. Yeah. So just to summarize this in words, thanks to my project now, there is public free linked open data available for Dutch public libraries. And who can benefit from my effort? Well, all kinds of parties. You see Wikipedia, because you can generate lists and overviews and articles, for instance, using this Mbabel tool from Wikidata. For our own national library, for later IFLA also have an inventory of worldwide libraries. They can also reuse their data. And especially for Sandra, it's also important for the Ministry of Dutch Ministry of Culture, because Sandra is going to have a talk about Wikidata with the ministry this Monday, next Monday. And also on the right-hand side, for instance, Amazon with Alexa, the assistant, they're also using Wikidata. So you can imagine that they also use, if you're looking for public library information, they can also use Wikidata for that. Because 1 year ago, Simon Kopp inspired me to do this project. I would like to call upon you, if you have time available, and if you have data from your own country about public libraries, make the coverage better, add more red dots. And of course, I'm willing to help you with that, and Simon is also willing to help with that. And so I hope next year somebody else will be at this conference or another conference, and there will be more red dots on the map. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olaf. Next, we have Ursula Oberst and Helen Smits presenting How Can a Small Research Library Benefit from Wikidata, Enhancing Library Products Using Wikidata?
Okay, good morning. My name is Helene Smits, and my colleague Ursula Oberst And I work at the library of the African Studies Center in Leiden in the Netherlands. And the African Studies Center is is an academic institution devoted entirely to the study of Africa, focusing on humanities and social studies. We used to be an independent research organization, but in 2016 we became part of Leiden University, and our catalogue was integrated into the larger university catalogue. Though it remained possible to do a search in the part of the Leiden of the African Studies catalogue alone. We remained independent in some respects, for example, with respect to our thesaurus, and also in with respect to the products we make for our users, such as acquisition lists and web dossiers. And it is in the field of the web dossiers that we have been looking for possible ways to apply Wikidata, and that's the part where Ursula will, in the second part of this talk, show you a bit what we've been doing there. The web dossiers are collections of titles from our catalogue that we compile around a theme, usually connected to, for example, a conference or to a special event. And actually, the last or the most recent web dossier we made was connected to the year of indigenous languages, and that was around proverbs in African languages. Our first steps, go to the next slide. Our first steps on the WikiPass as a library were in 2013, when we were one of 12 GLAM institutions in the Netherlands, part of the project of Wikipedians in Residence. And we had for 2 months a Wikipedian in the house. And he gave us trainings for adding articles to Wikipedia. And also we made a start with uploading photo collections to Commons, which always remained a little bit dependent on funding as well, whether we would be able to digitize them and to mostly have a student assistant to do this. But it was actually a great adding to what we could offer as an academic library. In May 2018, so I said, my colleague also Ursula, she started to really explore, dive into Wikidata and see what we as a small and not very much experienced library in these fields could do with that. So I mentioned we have our own thesaurus, this is where we started. It is a thesaurus of 13,000 terms, all in the field of African studies. It contains a lot of African languages, names of ethnic groups in Africa, and other proper names which are perhaps especially interesting for Wikidata. It is a real authority controlled vocabulary with 5,000 preferred terms. So we submitted the request to Wikidata, and that was actually very quickly met with a positive response, which was very encouraging for us. And our thesaurus was loaded into mix and match, and by now 75% of the terms have been manually matched with Wikidata. So it means we are now added as an identifier. For example, if you click on Swahili language, what happens then in Wikidata on the number connects our term, it's the Wikidata term. You enter into our thesaurus, and from there you can do a search directly in the catalog by clicking the button again. It means also that Wikidata is not really integrated into our catalog, but that's also, yeah, more difficult. Okay, we have to give the floor to Ursula for the next part.
Yeah, thank you very much, Elaine. So I will talk about our experiences with incorporating Wikidata elements to our web dossier. A web dossier, our classical web dossier, consists of three parts: an introduction to the subject, mostly written by one of our researchers, a selection of titles, both books and articles from our collection, and the third part, an annotated list with links to electronic resources. And this year, we added a fourth part to our web dossiers, which is the Wikidata element. And it all started last year, and my story is similar to the story of Olaf, actually. Last year, when I had no clue about Wikidata, and I discovered this wonderful article by Alex Dinson on how to write a query in Wikidata. And he chose a subject, a very appealing subject to me, namely discovering women writers from North Africa. I can really recommend this this article because it's very instructive, and I thought I'm going to work on this query and try to change it to Southern African women writers and try to add a link to their work in our catalog. And on the right-hand side, you see the Sparkle query, which searches for Southern African women writers. If you click on the button, on the blue button on the left-hand side, the search result will appear beneath. The search result can have different formats. In my case, the search result is a map. And a nice thing about Wikidata is that you can embed this search result into your own web page. And that's what we are now doing with our web dossiers. So this was the very first one on Southern African women writers with the classical three elements, plus this map on the left-hand side, which gives extra information, a link to the Southern African women writer, a link to her works in our catalog, and a link to the Wikidata record of her birthplace and her name, a personal record, plus a photo if it's available on Wikidata. And retrieve a nice map with lot of red dots on the African continent, you need nice data in Wikidata, complete, sufficient data. So with our second web dossier on public art in Africa, we also started to enhance the data in Wikidata. In this case, for our public art, we added a geolocation, Wikidata, and we also searched for works of public art in commons, and if they don't have a record on Wikidata yet, we added it, the record to Wikidata. And the third thing we do, because when we prepare a web dossier, we download the titles from our catalog, and the titles are in Mark 21, so we have to convert them to a format that is presentable on the website, and it takes not much time and effort to convert the same set of titles to Wikidata quick statements, and then we also upload the title set to Wikidata, and you can see the titles we uploaded from our latest web dossier on African proverbs in Scolia, really nice tool that visualizes scholarly publications being present in Wikidata. And One second, and we add, as it, when it is possible, we add the Scolia template to our web dossiers topic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Helen and Ursula. Next, we have Adrian Cole presenting using Wikidata to improve spatial subject indexing in regional bibliography.
Okay, hello everybody. I'm going right into the topic. I only have 10 minutes to present a three-year project. It wasn't full time. Okay, so what's the NWBIB? It's an acronym for North Rhine-Westphalian Bibliography. It's a regional bibliography that records literature about people and places in North Rhine-Westphalia. And yeah, there are monographs in it, and there are a lot of articles in it, and most of them are quite unique. So that's the interesting thing about this bibliography, because it's often there's quite obscure stuff, people, local people writing about their tradition and something like this. It's over 400,000 entries in there. The bibliography started in 1983, and so we only have titles from this publication year onwards. If you want to take a look at it, it's at nwbib.de. There's the web application. It's based on our service lobbit.org, the API, because it's cataloged as part of the HBZ Union catalog, which comprises around 20 million records. It's an ex libris ILS system, and we get the data out of there, make RDF out of it, and provide it as via JSON LD HTTP API. So the initial status in 2017 was we had nearly 9,000 distinct strings about places, referring to places in North Rhine-Westphalia. Mostly those were administrative areas, like towns, districts, and but also monasteries, principalities, or natural regions. And yeah, we already used Wikidata in 2017 and matched those strings with a Wikidata API to Wikidata entries quite naively to get the geo-coordinates from there and do some geo-based discovery stuff with it. But yeah, this had some drawbacks, so the matching was really poor. There were lots of false positives, and we still had no hierarchy in those places, and we still had a lot of non-unique names. So this is an example here. Does this work? Yeah. As you can see, for one place, Brauweiler, there are four different strings in there. So we all know how this happens. If there's no authority file, you end up with this data. So, but we want to improve on that. And as you can also see, that's why the matching didn't work. So you have this name of the place, and there's often the name of the superior administrative area, and even on the second level superior administrative area, often in the name to make it to identify the place successfully. So yeah, the goal was to build a full-fledged spatial classification based on this data with a hierarchical view of places with one entry or ID for each place. And we got this mock-up by NWBIB editors in 2016. It made an Excel to get a feeling what they would like to have. There you have the Regierungsbezirke, that's the most superior administrative area. Then you have some towns or districts, rural districts, and then it's going down to the parts of towns, even to this level. We chose Wikidata for this task. We also looked at the GND, the integrated authority file, and geonames. but Wikidata had the best coverage and the best infrastructure. The coverage for the places and the geo-coordinates we need, and the hierarchical information. For example, there were a lot of places also in the GND, but there was no hierarchical information in there. And also Wikidata provides the infrastructure for editing and versioning, and there's also a community that helps maintaining the data, which is quite good. But there was a requirement by the NWBIB editors. They did not want to directly rely on Wikidata, which is understandable. We don't have those servers under our control, and we won't know what's going on there. There might be some unwelcome edits that destroy the classification or parts of it, or vandalism. So we decided to put an intermediate SCSI file in between on which the application will be built, which should be generated from Wikidata. SCSI is a simple knowledge organization system. It's the standard way to model a classification in the linked data world. So how we did it, 5 steps. I will come to each of the steps in more detail. We matched the strings to Wikidata with a better approach than before, created a classification based on Wikidata, added then back the links from Wikidata to NWBIB with a custom property, and now we are in the process of establishing a good process for updating the classification in Wikidata, seeing having a diff of the changes, and then publishing it to the SCSI file. And I will come to the details. So the matching approach, as the API wasn't very sufficient, and because we have those different levels in the strings, we build a custom Elasticsearch index for our task. I think by now you could probably as well use OpenRefine for doing this, but at that point in time it wasn't available for Wikidata. And we built this index based on Sparkle query for entities in NRW with a specific type, and the query evolved over time a lot. And if you're interested, you can see the history on GitHub. So that's what we put in the matching index. This, in the spatial objects, is what we need in our data. It's the label, the ID or the link to Wikidata, the geo-coordinates, and the type from Wikidata tickets as well. But also for the matching, very important, the aliases and the broader thing. And this is also an example where the name of the broader entity and the district itself are very similar. So it's important to have some type information as well for the matching. So the matching results were very good. We could automatically match more than 99% of records with this approach. This were only 92% of the strings. So obviously those strings that only occurred one or two times often didn't appear in Wikidata, and so we had to do a lot of work with those with a long tail. For around 1,000 strings, the matching was incorrect. But the catalogers did a lot of work in the Aleph catalog, but also in Wikidata. They made more than 6,000 manual edits to Wikidata to reach 100% coverage by adding aliases, type information, creating new entries. Okay, so I have to speed up. we created a classification based on this, on the hierarchical statements. P131 is the main property there. We added the information to our data, so we now have this in our data, a spatial object where with full focus there's the link to Wikidata and the types are there, and here's the ID from the SCSI classification we built based on Wikidata, and you can see that there are Q identifiers in there. Now you can basically query our API with such a query using Wikidata URIs and get literature, in this example, about Cologne back. So then we created a Wikidata property for NWBIB and added those links from Wikidata to the classification, batch load them with quick statements, And there's also a nice, we also moved to using a qualifier on this property to add the broader information there. So I think people won't mess around that lot with this, as with the P131 statement. So this is what it looks like. This will go to the classification where you can then start a query. Now we have to build this update and review process, and we will add those data like this with a zero subfield to Aleph, and the catalogs will start using those Wikidatabase IDs, URIs for cataloging, for spatial indexing. So now, by now, there are more than 400,000 MWBIB entries with links to Wikidata, and more than 4,400 Wikidata entries with links to MWBIB. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you. So, as you've seen me before, I'm Hillary Thorson. I am Wikimedian in residence with the Linked Data for Production project. I'm based at Stanford, and I'm here today with my colleague Lena Dennis, who's cartographic assistant at Harvard Library. And Christine Furtsebner-Eslau is here in spirit. She is currently back in Boston, but supporting us from afar. So we'll be talking about Wikidata and libraries as partners in data production, organization, and project inspiration. And our work as part of the Linked Data for Production project. So Linked Data for Production is in its second phase called Pathway for Implementation, and it's an Andrew W. Mellon Foundation grant involving the partnership of several universities with the goal of constructing a pathway for shifting the catalog community to begin describing library resources with linked data. And it builds upon a previous grant, but this iteration is focused on the practical aspects of the transition. One of these pathways of investigation has been integrating library metadata with Wikidata. We have a lot of questions, but some of the ones we're most interested in are how we can integrate library metadata with Wikidata and make contribution a part of our cataloging workflows, how Wikidata can help us improve our library discovery environment, how it can help us reveal more relationships and connections within our data and with external data sets, and if we have connections in our own data that can be added to Wikidata, how libraries can help fill in gaps in Wikidata, and how libraries can work with local communities to describe library and archival resources. Finding answers to these questions has focused on the mutual benefits for the library and Wikidata communities. We've learned through starting to work on our different Wikidata projects that many of the issues libraries grapple with, like data modeling, identity management, data maintenance, documentation, and instruction on linked data, are ones the Wikidata community works on too. I'm going to turn things over to Lena to talk about what she's been working on now.
Hi, so as Hillary briefly mentioned, I work as a map librarian at Harvard, where I process maps, atlases, and archives for our online catalog. And while processing two-dimensional cartographic works is relatively straightforward, cataloging archival collections so that their cartographic resources can be made discoverable has always been more difficult. So my use case for Wikidata is visually modeling relationships between archival collections and the individual items within them, as well as between archival drafts and published works. So I used Wikidata to highlight the work of our cartographer named Erwin Rice, who worked at Harvard in the early 20th century. He was known for his vividly detailed and artistic landforms, like this one on the screen, but also for inventing the armadillo projection, writing the first cartography textbook in English, and other various important contributions to the field of geography. And at the Harvard Map Collection, we have a 66-item collection of Rice's field notebooks, which begin when he was a student and end just before his death. So this is the collection level record that I made for them, which merely gives an overview. But his notebooks are full of information that he used in later atlases, maps, and textbooks. But researchers don't know how to find that trajectory information, and the system is not designed to show them. So I felt that with Wikidata and other Wikimedia platforms, I'd be able to take advantage of information that already exists about him on the open web, along with library records and a notebook inventory that I had made in an Excel spreadsheet to show relationships and influences between his works. So here you can see how I edited and reconciled library data in OpenRefine, and then I used quick statements to batch import my results. So now I was ready to create knowledge graphs with Sparkle queries to show patterns of influence. The examples here show how I leveraged Wikimedia Commons images that I connected to him and a hierarchy of some of his works that were contributing factors to other works. So modeling Rice's works in Wikidata allowed me to encompass in a single image, or in this case in two images, the connections that require many pages of bibliographic data to reveal. So this video is going to load. Yes. All right. This video is a minute and a half long screencast I made that I'm going to narrate as you watch. It shows the process of inputting and then running a Sparkle query showing hierarchical relationships between notebooks, an atlas, and a map that Rice created about Cuba. He worked there before the revolution, so he had the unique position of having support from both the American and the Cuban governments. So I made this query as an example to show people who work on Rice and who are interested in narrowing down what materials they'd like to request when they come to us for research. To make the approach replicable for other archival collections, I hope that Harvard and other institutions will prioritize Wikidata lookups as they move to linked data cataloging production, which my co-presenters can speak to the progress on better than I can, but my work has brought to mind a particular issue that I see as a future opportunity, which is that of archival modeling. To an archivist, an item is a discrete archival material within a larger collection of archival materials that is not a physical location. So an archivist from the American National Archives and Records Administration, who is also a Wikidata enthusiast, advised me when I was trying to determine how to express this using an example item that I'm going to show as soon as this video is finally over. All right. Great. Nope, that's not what I wanted. Here we go. It's doing that. Nope. Sorry. All right, I don't know why it's not going full screen again. I can't get it to do anything, but this is the, oh my gosh, stop that. All right. So this is the item that I mentioned. So this was what the archivist from the National Archives and Records Administration showed me as an example. And he recommended this compromise, which is to use the part of property to connect a lower level description to a higher level of description, which allows the relationships between different hierarchical levels to be asserted as statements and qualifiers. So in this example that's on screen, the relationship between an item, a series, a collection, and a record group are thus contained and described within a Wikidata item entity. So I followed this model in my work on Rice. And one of my images is missing. No, it's not. It's right there. I'm sorry. So I followed this model in my work on Rice, but I look forward to further standardization.
So another archival project Harvard is working on is the Arthur Friedman collection of more than 2,000 hours of punk rock performances from the 1970s to early 2000s in the Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts areas. It includes many bands and venues that no longer exist. So far, work has been done in OpenRefine on reconciliation of the bands and venues to see which need an item created in Wikidata. A basic item will be created via a batch process next spring, and then an edit-a-thon will be held in conjunction with the New England Music Librarian Association's meeting in Boston to focus on adding more statements to the batch-created items by drawing on local music community knowledge. We're interested in learning more about models for pairing librarians and wiki enthusiasts with new contributors who have domain knowledge. Items will eventually be linked to digitized video in Harvard's digital collections platform once rights have been cleared with artists, which will likely be a slow process. There's also a great amount of interest in moving away from manual cataloging and creation of authority data towards identity management where descriptions can be created in batches. An additional project that focused on creating international standard name identifiers, or ISNIs, for avant-garde and women filmmakers can be adapted for creating Wikidata items for these filmmakers as well. Spreadsheets with the ISNIs, filmmaker names, and other details can be reconciled in OpenRefine and uploaded with quick statements. Once people and organizations have been described, we'll move toward describing the films in Wikidata, which will likely present some additional modeling challenges. A library presentation wouldn't be complete without a MARC record. Here you can see the record for Karen Aqua's taxonomy film, where her ISNI and Wikidata queue number have been added to the 100 field. The ISNIs and Wikidata queue numbers that have been created can then be batch added back into MARC records via MARC edit. You might be asking why I'm showing you this ugly MARC record instead of some beautiful linked data statements, and that's because our libraries will be working in a hybrid environment for some time. Our library catalog still relies on MARC records, so by adding in these URIs, we can try to take advantage of linked data while our systems still use MARC. Adding URIs into MARC records makes an additional aspect of our project possible. Work has been done at Stanford and Cornell to bring data from Wikidata into our library catalog using URIs already in our MARC records. You can see an example of a knowledge panel where all the data is sourced from Wikidata and links back to the item itself, along with an invitation to contribute. This is currently in a test environment, not in production in our catalog. Ideally, eventually, these will be generated from linked data descriptions of library resources created using Synopia, our linked data editor developed for cataloging. We found that adding a lookup to Wikidata in Synopia is difficult. The scale and modeling of Wikidata makes it hard to partition the data to be able to look up typed entities, and we've run into the problem of Sparkle not being good for keyword search, but wanting our keyword APIs to return Sparkle-like RDF descriptions. So as you can see, we still have quite a bit of work to do. This round of the grant runs until June 2020, so we'll be continuing our exploration. And I just wanted to invite anyone who's continued an interest in talking about Wikidata in libraries. I lead a Wikidata affinity group that's open to anyone to join. We meet every 2 weeks, and our next call is Tuesday, November 5th. So if you're interested in continuing discussions, I would love to talk with you further. Thank you, everyone, and thank you to the other presenters for talking about all of their wonderful projects.